The epistle for today, the second Sunday in Lent, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and overreach his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves and once was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking together with him. Then Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us set up three tents here, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. As he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And on hearing it, the disciples fell on their faces and were exceedingly afraid. And Jesus came near and touched them, and said to them, Arise and do not be afraid. But lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus cautioned them, saying, Tell the vision to no one till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Let's begin with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a story related about St. Philip Neri. What happened was a penitent came to him, and she confessed gossip. Now, she related the story later, okay? And what happened was he gave her for penance. He said, I want you to go to the top of the steeple of the church. And he met her up there, and he brought a feather pillow, a goose feather pillow, ripped it open, and said to her, okay, now I want you to toss all the feathers out into the wind. So she did that and tossed all the feathers into the wind from the steeple of the church. They all, of course, scattered everywhere. And she had great fun doing it. And then he said, okay, now I want you to gather all those feathers back together. That's the rest of your penance. And she said to him, Father, that's impossible. And so he said to her, Now I think you realize how hard it is to undo the damage that gossip does, okay? Last year we spoke a little bit about the sins of the tongue. We're going to review a little bit from last year and then go into more depth on a couple of areas of other sins of the tongue. So we spoke about gossip last year. Now first off, what do we mean by gossip? Well, gossip is the lessening of the good name of another by our words. And it can be done with or without the knowledge of another person, either behind the person's back or in front of him. Okay, it can be done directly in four ways. Okay, the first, one can sin by gossip by saying that which is false about the person. Okay, that's particularly the sin of calumny. You invent something false. The second way of sinning directly with gossip is by exaggerating the sin of another. He may have truly sinned, but you exaggerate it, and so that's a falsehood. That's also a form of calumny. The third way one may gossip is by revealing something unknown about a person. Okay, a true fault, if the thing's true, but you reveal it. That's a sin. That's a sin of gossip, the sin particularly of detraction. Okay, and then finally one can gossip by ascribing a bad intention to the person's good deeds. Yeah, he's doing that alms deed, but that's for this reason. He's just doing it to look good. Huh? we ascribe a bad intention. All right? One can sin indirectly by gossip, by denying the good that someone does, or by maliciously hiding the good that another person does, withholding honor from the person that is due to the person. Or you might make the good that the person does seem less than he is. Oh, yeah, he gave it, but that's not a big deal. He did this, but it's not a big deal. We're trying to lessen the honor of that person. Okay, those are sins of gossip. But what exactly do we mean by the different types of gossip? Last year we looked at four specific ones, okay? We looked at detraction, slander, calumny, and talebearing. Let's do a quick review of those and then go into a couple of a little bit more depth on detraction, and then we'll look at a couple of other sins of the tongue. So, first off, we talked about detraction. So detraction is the revealing of the hidden faults of another without a sufficient justifying reason. Okay? If one's testifying in court, that's a sufficient justifying reason to reveal the fault. Yes, I saw this man commit this crime. You're testifying before a judge. It's for the common good. It's a sufficient justifying reason. Okay? So, notice that the detractor here, okay, is saying something that's true. Okay? So the excuse is, but Father, it was true. That just doesn't fly, huh? It doesn't matter. God doesn't reveal our sins, huh? Even though they're true. So we shouldn't do the same for others, all right? So, there's a sin against justice, against the good name of the person, and it's a sin against charity by revealing the neighbor's faults, which were not known to the hearers. Okay, that's detraction. Something that was not known to the other person, or you believe it's not known and you're telling it. So if serious damage is done to our neighbor or to his good name, okay, notable injury is done to our neighbor or to his good name, and it could be something serious as the serious sin. Yeah, you know, he sleeps around or something like that. You know, things like that. That's a serious thing. It does notable injury. Okay? If that's notable injury, then that sin is a mortal sin. Okay? It makes the soul deserving of hell. Okay? That's a mortal sin. And that, reminder, you can only be absolved in sacramental confession before you receive Holy Communion. Confession to the priest. Okay? So if serious damage is done, the sin is mortal. Slander, another form of gossip. Slander is like detraction in that it is revealing the hidden faults, but the slanderer has the express intention of harming the good name of the other. You know, you might hear this, you know, well, I wasn't intending to harm his good name. Okay, so you weren't slandering, but it was still detraction. You see, detraction harms the good name. Slander intends to harm the good name. Both are still sins, okay? And both can be mortal sins if the harm is notable, if it's a notable injury to the good name of another, okay? If it's a serious injury to the good name of another. Calumny is another sin of gossip. Calumny is a sin wherein one exaggerates the faults of another or invents sins to accuse another person of. Okay, it's also a mortal sin, and we can see this is a little more malicious, right? He's inventing things. All right, it's a mortal sin when the faults or sins are serious in nature, or when the person is doing it out of hatred. That hatred is a mortal sin. He really hates that person. That's a sin of a mortal sin of hatred. Okay, talebearing is the sin of reporting to a person something unfavorable that is said about him in order to sort of break things up. You know what she said about you. You know that type of thing. It's talebearing. Breaks things up, okay, rends asunder. And actually, that's the Greek word for rending asunder is diaboline, diabolical. That's where we get the word diabolical. Rends asunder, huh? So that's kind of a review from last year. Now, how grave are these sins, all right? How grave? To reveal the grave fault of another is to do grave damage to the person's good name. We mentioned that it's the mortal sin, okay? It doesn't matter if the fault is true or not, okay? Notice it doesn't matter if the fault is true or not. It just makes the difference between the mortal sin of detraction or the mortal sin of calumny if we do grave damage to a person's good name. So to deliberately reveal the unknown grave or serious fault of another is a mortal sin that can only be absolved in sacramental confession. Confession to a priest, okay, has to be done before one can receive Holy Communion because we don't want to incur an even graver sin of sacrilege, receiving our Lord when there is a mortal sin on our soul. All sin can be taken away, and God's left us the plan for how that's done, sacramental confession, okay? So that's a review from last year. Just going to go into a little bit more detail on a couple areas, okay? St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa Theologica lists other sins of the tongue, In particular, he mentions one which might be kind of common, huh? Sins are contumelies, or also reviling, huh? Reviling someone to the person's face. Backbiting, we mentioned this already, detraction and derision, deriding someone. Okay, contumelies, or reviling. This consists in humiliating insults. This is done to the face of the person. Okay, it's done in the person's face. The intent of this sin is to dishonor the person, either by depriving him of an honor that is due to him, or by publicly saying something against the person's honor in the presence of the person through words. That's what the reviler does. Now, is this a mortal sin? Well, St. Thomas answers, quoting Matthew 5:22. Matthew 5:22, our Lord says, "Whosoever shall say to his brother, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." Okay, what our Lord's talking about is reviling. Now, the word that our Lord uses, raka, it's a little bit more stronger than what we have in fool, okay? But it's a reviling. That's what our Lord is talking about. Shall be guilty of hellfire. So St. Thomas says, yes, that it is a mortal sin. Okay, now it depends on a couple of things. If the intention is to dishonor the other person, it is a mortal sin. Okay, if you're trying to dishonor the person, you know, you're trying to seriously dishonor the person, it's a mortal sin. St. Thomas points out also that if the person is correcting someone, however, and in the process utters a reviling word, all right, it may not be a mortal sin, since his intention was to correct, not to revile the person. Okay, if that's what his intention was, and again, we have to keep in mind the proper principles of correction, which we talked about last week. Also, if the reviling be slight, in other words, a slight dishonor, and does not inflict a lot of dishonor on the man, okay, then it, or it's maybe uttered just through some slight anger, without the fixed purpose of dishonoring, it may be a venial sin. Okay, if it's a slight thing, all right? So that's contumely, or reviling, to the face of the person. We talked about detraction already, but I want to focus in on a couple of things here. We mentioned about the detraction. We want to mention also here the obligation that happens. When we've detracted someone, whether it's detraction proper, in other words, darkening the good name of someone, or slander, where you expressly intend to darken the good name of the person, we always have the obligation to make restitution for that. We have to restore that person's good name. Okay? We can praise that person in some other area that we know of. We can do something. We have to do something to restore that person's good name. The obligation is to restore the good name in front of the people that we may have detracted in front of. Okay, so if we detracted in front of certain, you know, 7 people, we need to go to those 7 people and praise the person that we detracted to bring their good name back up. Now, you see what a mess it is, huh? You see how the goose feathers are being trying to brought back in, you know, because what if they told other people, you know? That's what St. Philip Neri was trying to do with that woman, to say, look, you're spreading things, and it's a mess, and it's hard to clean up, but we have the obligation to do it. If we've done a grave detraction, in other words, we've seriously darkened the good name of someone, whether we intended to do it, but if we did serious damage to the good name of a person, we have a serious obligation to repair that damage. Which means if we neglect to do it, it's a serious neglect. Okay, it would be a mortal sin of neglect if we seriously damage the good name of the person and then neglected to do it. Okay. Now, okay, if we realize this, okay, we're just realizing, whoa, that was a mortal sin. I didn't realize that. If you didn't realize that, okay, be at peace here, okay, but go and sin no more. You know, it's not like, if you remember, you commit a mortal sin, you have to have the grievous matter, you have to realize it's serious, and you do it anyway. Okay? So, just keep those things in mind. Those are the 3 requirements for the sin to be mortal. Okay? But now you know. And if you've done corrections in the past, now, or if you've done detractions in the past, now you know, I need to make those corrections. Okay, you do need to make those corrections. Okay, so what do we do then if one starts backbiting or detracting in front of us? Has that ever happened, huh? Someone just starts talking and, you know, what do we do? Now, if there's a couple of things. Can we sin by listening to this? Can we sin by listening to this? St. Thomas answers yes, and it's true. We can sin by listening to this. In fact, if we are pleased by the detraction, like, oh, wow, yeah, you know, tell me more. Or we're just pleased by the detraction. Even if we don't want to hear more, we're pleased by that. Then we partake in the same gravity of sin if we're pleased by it. Okay? And in fact, St. Thomas says sometimes it can be more grave. If, in other words, the person may be telling the grave fault of another, but we're like, yes, we're really pleased about that. Huh? Then our sin might be even graver than the person revealing the grave fault, if we're very pleased by that. So that's another way that one can sin, and we have to repent of that also. Okay? Now, that's obviously what not to do when someone is backbiting in front of us, when someone is detracting in front of us. But what St. Thomas says, what one should do, what one needs to do, is to resist, okay? Because he says, does one sin in not resisting the backbiter, the detractor? And he says, yes, if we do not resist the detractor. Now, that resistance can happen in a couple of ways. He says, we should tell the person, look, we shouldn't be talking about this, or, you know, something. A way to do that might be, you know, we all have faults, you know. Let's not focus on that. We all have faults, okay? That's a real mild way of kind of correcting the person, okay? We can also, at least, St. Thomas says, what we should do at least to show resistance is to show displeasure on our face. And he quotes there, in fact, he quotes Proverbs 25, verse 23, where it says, the north wind drives away rain, as does a sad face the backbiting tongue. So a sad face drives away the backbiting tongue. The backbiter can see, oh, I'm not getting anywhere with this guy. He's not interested. You know, if we're show displeasure on our face. So that's the least. That's what we have to do to resist the backbiters, huh? The detractors that happen in our presence. All right? So just a couple more details about that sin and ways to correct the situation when it arises. So lastly, I just want to mention briefly one other sin. There's the sin of derision. Okay, derision is mockery. It intends to embarrass the person, but not necessarily dishonor them. Okay, it's different from reviling, but it derides the person. It uses mockery or laughter for the person. It may just be a simple thing of making fun of the person, okay? But if we're trying to deride the person, we're trying to embarrass the person, that's a sin. If we're trying to embarrass the person, okay? We shouldn't want to embarrass anyone, huh? So there's a difference there between embarrassment and dishonor, okay? The embarrassed person fears that he will be dishonored. He will lose honor in the eyes of other people. But it's the difference between reviling, which is dishonoring someone, and derision, which is basically embarrassing someone. That's the difference there. Dishonor versus embarrassment. Okay, let's wrap things up here. When we go to confession, it's very important that we say the species or the type of gossip, okay? If we can't remember which one it is, we can say gossip, all right, and the priest will help sort it out to determine what level of damage. Because obviously there's different things. The priest has to know how grave it was. Was there calumny? Did he invent something? Was there detraction where he damaged the good name of someone? Or was it slander where he intended to damage the good name of someone? Or was it tale-bearing? Okay. Was it derision or reviling? Okay. If we don't know it, we can say gossip, and Father will help us out in the confessional. Okay. But if we've done a serious damage to someone, remember that's a serious sin and that needs to be absolved in sacramental confession with the priest before we approach Holy Communion. Okay? And we do have the obligation to repair the damage done. And it's sometimes a serious obligation. It's a serious obligation if we did a serious damage. We'll close with another story. Once a saintly religious sister had several visits from souls in purgatory, and these souls asked her to pray for them. One soul told her, I have been in purgatory for a year and 3 months. How little people suspect the way their faults are expiated here. She said, a tongue horribly tortured expiates faults against silence. A dried up throat expiates faults against charity. Okay. Another soul of a religious sister told this sister, I have been in purgatory till now because during my religious life I talked a great deal and with little prudence. I often communicated my impressions and complaints. And these indiscretions were the cause of faults against charity, which my sisters then committed. Now, at this point in the apparition, Our Lady, who was present at the apparition, told the sister who was seeing this soul in purgatory, Our Lady told the sister, "Let all learn from this, for many souls fall into this danger." Close quote. Let all learn from this, for many souls fall into this danger. Let all learn from this, many souls fall into this danger. May Our Lady of the Rosary pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.